This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. International pressure is building on Israel to hold back in responding to Iran's attacks, but many Israelis are calling on the government to retaliate forcefully. VOA's Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
Iran's attack, with hundreds of missiles fired simultaneously, was unprecedented. So was the international cooperation to intercept them, with the U.S., Jordan, and Britain working together, say Israeli security officials. As the international community urges restraint, some in Israel say the Jewish state must respond. Israeli media reports say two former chiefs of staff in the war cabinet, Benny Gantz and Gadi Eisenkot, wanted to strike back at Iran while the Iranian attack was underway, but Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said no. Other Israeli intelligence analysts say the damage was limited, and Israel can choose not to respond further. Linda Gradstein, VOA News, Jerusalem.
U.S. President Joe Biden met with Iraqi Prime Minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudani on Monday at the White House as tensions soar in the Middle East and between Iran and Israel after Tehran's weekend strikes.
The United States is committed to Israel's security. We're committed to a ceasefire that will bring the hostages home.
Sudani called for restraint as he leads a delegation that is meeting officials across Washington, including President Biden and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Iraq is a rare ally of both Washington and Tehran. Iraqi airspace was a main route for Iran's unprecedented drone and ballistic missile attack on Israel. And Iraqi officials say Iran informed them, as well as other countries in the region, ahead of that attack. U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson is pushing for a vote on aid to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan this week. He has unveiled a plan to contort the package to squeeze it through the House's political divides on foreign policy. This is VOA News. Russia and Ukraine are trading blame before the United Nations Security Council for the attacks on Europe's largest nuclear power plant. The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency says the attacks have put the world dangerously close to a nuclear incident. Without attributing blame, IAEA Director General Rafael Mariano Grossi said his agency has been able to confirm three attacks against the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant since April 7th. He said what he called reckless attacks must cease immediately. Zaporizhia sits in Russian-controlled territory in southeastern Ukraine and has six nuclear reactors. Myanmar resistance fighters hoisted their own banner at a newly captured army base Monday as a senior rebel commander vowed to hold the strategic area near the Thai border. Reuters correspondent Olivia Zelino.
The key trading town of Miawadi was taken by fighters linked to the Armed Ethnic Karen National Union, or KNU, less than a week ago. Its fall marked another battlefield loss for the powerful military regime that seized control in 2021 from an elected government led by Aung San Suu Kyi, who remains in detention. Simmering anger against the junta has turned into a nationwide armed resistance movement. Since October, the army has lost control of key areas near its borders with both India and China to a loose coalition of allied resistance forces.
That's Reuters correspondent Olivia Zelino reporting. Donald Trump's hush money criminal trial started in New York Monday, a historic first in the U.S. for a former leader of the country. AP correspondent Julie Walker reports from the courthouse.
The trial brought out Donald Trump defending himself against allegations of falsifying business records to hide alleged stories of extramarital affairs during the 2016 campaign. It also brought out Ron Sinibaldi, one of the very few members of the public, to get a seat in the overflow courtroom. He says he began lining up before midnight to see history.
I go to these things basically. Number one is because the first president of the United States, in my opinion, as far as I understand it, that's ever been at a criminal trial.
He says it's not about political party. At criminal court in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.
French President Emmanuel Macron says world donors are pledging more than $2.1 billion in aid for Sudan. A year of war has pushed the African country's population to the brink of famine. Macron spoke Monday at the end of an international conference in Paris aimed at drumming up support for Sudan's people. Sudan's warring parties did not take part. Top diplomatic envoys, UN officials, and aid agencies gathered at the conference and urged them to stop committing human rights violations and allow access for humanitarian aid. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.